Alô? Alright, I'm actually glad people stayed in the room. Can everybody hear me back there okay? And we're good? Awesome. Glad people stayed in the room. I was afraid I was going to be embarrassed to come in here and like three people sitting in the front row. First off, for anybody that's seen me talk before, I actually promised this year that I would not go on one of my profanity-laced tirades. So if you came to hear that, you're kind of shit out of luck. Basically, what I want to do is go through the Worldwide War Drive. We did the fourth one this year, and I'm going to go through the stats that we collected this year, as well as kind of give you a background on some of the trends that we noticed throughout the four war drives. For anybody that's not familiar, the Worldwide War Drive is an effort by security professionals and hobbyists to generate an awareness to the public at large of the security issues related to deploying wireless networks. We primarily gear most of our stuff to home users as opposed to corporate users, but we do obviously collect stats on corporate access points and wireless networks as well. Our goal is to actually provide a snapshot of 1 week. We take basically 8 days from a Saturday to Saturday, actually a Saturday through Sunday, and allow people to upload their stats to us, or their war drive logs to us, and then we compile stats based on that. We only want that 1 week. It's the only way that we can get a legitimate snapshot of what things are like at that moment. We don't want stuff from a year ago that's sort of invalid for our purposes. Like I said, our goal, or our thought process is that a lot of users really aren't aware of the security issues with wireless networks. There's several problems with that. You have the vendors who are basically doing everything to make it as easy as possible for people to set their access points up. You go out to Best Buy, CompUSA, wherever, grab an access point, throw it on your network, boom, you're online. The end users don't take into account, oh, I really ought to do something beyond this to lock it down. They just kind of trust the vendors. The vendors, on the other hand, aren't doing anything to let people know, oh, by the way, you might want to go a step farther. I talked to Linksys a while back, and I asked them, or Cisco now, I asked them why it's not possible for them to, every access point that they sell comes with the CD. You throw it in, it helps you set your network up. Why wouldn't they be able to go one step farther? Once you've got it up and running, why couldn't they go ahead and have a menu option? Now let's set your security features up, and boom, walk people through it step by step. On how to set it up for basically just for Windows, since that's what the only thing that they support. So it would be pretty easy for them to do, but for whatever reason, they're not interested in doing that. All the information that we have on our website is free. That can be a good and bad thing. Some of the stats have been used for purposes that I haven't exactly been thrilled about. Just so you know, several vendors, wireless security companies, have used our stats in their marketing. Zero have actually asked me if they could do that. I guess that's what you get for putting free stuff on the web. But anyone that wants to use the stats is more than welcome to, for whatever reason that they feel they need to. I prefer to, if a vendor wants to use them, I prefer that they actually just ask me and let me know, but they don't. First Worldwide War Drive, we did August 31st to September 7th in 2002. Basically, we had about 100 people participating worldwide, 22 areas, and by areas, most of those were here in the U.S. We did have 6 countries and 2 continents, Europe and North America, in that one. We found a whopping 9,374 access points. The main thing that I wanted to look at here from the first drive is the web-enabled. We were looking at about 30% at that time in 2002. Then also the default SSID and no WEP, which, and just for clarification, whenever I say WEP, it's actually any encryption. I'm not differentiating between WEP and WPA, so both of those kind of fall into WEP, and I'll take the hit on that. I really ought to update that to just say encryption enabled, but I'm kind of lazy, so it hasn't happened. Default SSID and no WEP was sitting there at 26.64%. So that's basically a quarter of all the access points that were out there 2 years ago were people who went to Best Buy or wherever, bought the access point, plugged it in. Second Worldwide War Drive, I had a lot of people that had never heard of the Worldwide War Drive. They didn't know what we were trying to do, but there was a significant amount of press generated from the first one. So right away, right after the first one, people started contacting me saying, when are you going to do this again? When are you going to do it again? My thought process there was, well, let's go ahead and do it now before it gets too bad. A lot of the Canadian guys in particular were wanting to do it, and we wanted to do it before the snows took over Canada and turned it into the frozen tundra. So we went ahead in October, the end of October to 1st November, so basically 2 months after the first one, we did a second one. We had much better participation, twice as many people, 200. We had 7 countries this time, and 4 continents were actually represented. We found at that time almost 25,000 access points, but as you can see, the percentage of WEP encrypted APs went down about 2.5% at that time, and the percentage of the default installations went up about 5%. I actually think that the second World Wide War Drive stats are a much more valid set of stats than the first one. I think that because there was only about 10,000 the first time around, it's basically statistically insignificant, so you can't really base any kind of real numbers off that of how close to reality it was. I think the second time around is much more realistic. Yeah, it's very close, but I think that, you're talking about 2% here, 5% there. I think that these are numbers that are actually more realistic for what was really out there as opposed to the first one. But yeah, it's still about the same. You're talking about somewhere in that 70% range. Last year, we did this for the third time, and after the second one, I absolutely decided there's no way I'm doing this more than once a year. This, like I mentioned before, I get paid absolutely nothing to do this, and it takes up a lot of my time, and my wife was pretty much slapping me around saying, you're not going to do this all day. So I decided we're going to make it an annual thing, and we did it last year from June 28th to July 5th. Basically, we ran it that close to DEF CON because I had this brilliant idea. I'm going to speak at DEF CON next year, and I'm going to give everybody the stats for the first time there, and it's going to be really cool. And it actually worked out well, but that was another one of those things that wasn't such a bright idea in retrospect, because I'm setting up stuff for DEF CON, doing the DEF CON war driving contest as well, and then trying to get these stats collected and put online in time to actually speak. So that was lame. At that time, though, again, we went up about another 100 people, so about 300 people participated last year. Huge participation as far as areas, 52 areas, again, a large portion of those in the U.S. The U.S. and Canada have probably throughout this been the biggest supporters. We have a lot more people here. We've had some people in Asia have participated, some in Europe's done pretty well up to this point. Last year, a lot of people participated in Australia, but I guess they don't sell GPSs in Australia or something, so they didn't give me anything with coordinates, so I couldn't make maps out of it, so I didn't count the stats. But we found 88,000 access points last year. And as you can see, the percentage of web-enabled APs went up about 4% from the previous year, which I was happy with. And the number of default installations dropped about 7%. So at this point, I was starting to think, hey, people are actually listening to us. We're getting the message out there, whether it's from us or from some other means. The word was getting out, and people were starting to listen. So I was happy last year. And then came this year, fourth time. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. I've got stuff to give out now. This year, we had about 600 people. We had a lot more lead time as far as preparation. We wanted to make sure that we had as many people aware of when we were doing this as we could. Unlike years in the past, and going back to that no profanity-laced tirades, I was actually nice to the press this year, and when they asked me for interview requests, I went ahead and did them instead of dropping their email into the bin. Not that I have anything against the press, except I'm not a big fan. This year we had 600 people participate, which I was real happy with. We had 17 countries this time around, and 4 continents, basically everything except for Australia again. Participants, we had logged access points in the U.S. in 41 out of the 50 states. We didn't have Alaska, Hawaii, and a couple of the Corn Belt states, but other than that, pretty much we had everything. We had found 228,537 access points this year. The WEP percentage went up, which I was real happy with. It went up to about 38%. So we're getting real close to the 40%. I'd really love to see that hit 50%, but I don't know if that'll ever actually happen. One thing to also notice, the percentage of default SSID and no WEP went up as well. No, actually, those, and that's an excellent question. It's something that almost every reporter asked me too. But the thing that with that is, there are going to be access points in here that are open by design, that people have left open and left the free access to anybody. I have no issue with that, but I can't. There's no way to actually pull that out. The other thing is, if you have some sort of secondary authentication mechanism, if you're letting people authenticate to the access point, but then they have to use a VPN tunnel or whatever, that's probably going to show up as a default installation. But I can't. There's no way for me to know that without actually trying to access the network, which I'm obviously not going to do. Yeah, we could pull like the Starbucks stuff and T-Mobile. We could probably try to pull those out. It wouldn't be that tough to do, but I just had never thought about doing it because it's still, even if we do that, the access points are open, whether it's by design or whether it's not, they still are open, so I go ahead and lump them into that statistic.
Okay. I'm sorry, one other question. Yeah. Have you done anything looking at public versus private
protocols? Not a whole lot, no. Like I said, for the most part, I gear this toward the end user as opposed to the corporate folks, and that's because, in my opinion, if you are a corporation and you're going to put a wireless network in your place of business, you have a responsibility to take due diligence. You should have, you know, a CEO or whoever should be smart enough to hire guys that know what they're doing to do that. Not saying they are, I'm saying they should. However, I think the public at large, people that don't realize that these issues are even out there, you're talking about, Jesus, the number of people that actually will still click on attachments when they get them in their email, it's not like people are thinking about security, okay? So I want to actually get the word out to them and at least put the idea in their mind, and I don't want to do it in a way like the news stories that everybody's seen on their local news where they get some 16-year-old kid with a Pringles can and drive around and sniff some lady's email password and go knock on her door. I hate FUD stories like that. They just frustrate me to death because that's, first of all, you're talking about something that is designed to scare people into doing things. I don't want to scare people. I want people to make an informed decision. What you mentioned about public networks and open networks, you know what? If you are a person that wants to share your internet out, go for it. I have no problem with that. I wouldn't do it myself, but that's your decision. But people need to have the information available to them to actually make an informed decision. The default SSID and no WEP went up again this year, and I'm going to kind of get into that in just a second as to why I think that is. Since the first one, the WEP percentage has actually increased about 8%, and the number of default installations has really only increased about 1%, a little bit less than 1%. The changes since last year were a little bit different. You had a 6% increase in WEP enabled and a 2.5% or almost 3% increase in WEP or default installs. Basically, what I think is going on there is people are starting to hear the message, be it from us, be it from somebody else, be it from work. I don't know where exactly they're getting it, but they are starting to understand, oh, wait, I've got to do something beyond just plugging this in. But at the same time, the growth in the number of access points is just increased exponentially in the past year. Drive around, everybody that in my neighborhood has a wireless access point hooked up to their network. So because of that, we're kind of running behind. It's like, okay, the people that were 3 years ago had their stuff deployed, they're like, oh wow, I need to do something. But you've got all these new people that really don't realize that they have to do anything yet. So now it's our job to get the word out to them as well. And hopefully next year we'll start to, I think we're going to continue to see this particular trend of the encryption percentage going up and the percentage of default installs also going up until the number of wireless networks that are being deployed actually levels off. At the point where they're not growing at the rate that they are right now, then you'll start to see, I think, those numbers get a little bit better. The encryption percentage will go up and the default installs will start to go down. But as long as people are, Joe User is running out and buying the APs and putting them on their network, you're going to continue to see that. basically, like I said, there's been a steady increase in the percentage of APs that have been deployed with some form of encryption. The only exception to that being between the first and the second World Wide War drive, where there was a decrease there. Every other time, there's been some, even if it's a small percentage, there's been some percentage of increase in encryption. But at the same time, like I mentioned, the default installs are also going up. I think that it's important for us as security professionals to actually talk to people. I mean, fire net stumbler up and look at your neighbor's access point. And my neighbor, I was just telling somebody out in the hall, my neighbor up until a week ago, his SSID was his address. And, you know, so knock on his door, hey, dude, how's it going? You really don't want to do that. the other thing is I've seen people use their social security numbers, which is like, you know, guys smack them around a little bit. What are you thinking? I've seen people use their telephone numbers. Basically, what you want, I mean, just let them know, hey, you do not want to do this. You want to actually take some form of protection for your own information. And I mean, you don't, like I mentioned, I don't think you have to actually scare people, but let them know. Everything that you've got on your hard drive is going to be accessible to basically anybody that decides to drive by. Yeah, go ahead. Well, we don't differentiate it that way because what ends up happening is we allow people to use basically whatever sniffer program they want to use. So anybody that's using NetStumbler, and actually even though Kismet has gotten more popular, NetStumbler is still the primary used application for the World Wide War drive. But I think it ran about 70% of the people used NetStumbler and about 30 used Kismet. So Kismet's going to have the cloaked APs, NetStumbler's not. Yeah, absolutely.
But are you concerned that now we see APs that are moving down the tops, like Apple can plug in the wall and maybe we're going to see probably more rogues out there?
Oh, I think that that's entirely probable. And I mean, I'll tell you something that one thing that's going to be difficult on my end, I read an article in the paper. I don't know how widespread this is going to be throughout the U.S., but I live in Maryland, and BG&E, Baltimore Gas and Electric, has decided that they're actually going to deploy wireless devices in everyone's houses so that they don't have to come and read the meters anymore. They can just drive by and do it from their truck. I read that, I'm like, oh, God. So, first of all, I think from one standpoint, if they are using 802.11b or 802.11, which they say they're going to, my stats are going to be screwed. I'm not going to be able to do anything because every house is going to have an access point in it, basically. The other side of that is, based on their past history, I can't imagine that they're going to use any kind of security whatsoever. So I probably have to knock on their door. Hey, that's really not a good idea. Basically, that is it for me today, unless anybody has any other questions. I really appreciate everyone coming out. Yeah?
You mentioned the e-policy, but if you report the information on how each of the links is SID or to break out by manufacturer?
I used to do it. I used to figure out which was the most common SSID and which was the second most, blah, blah, blah. But just as an FYI, Linksys is most common. Default is the second most common. So that it's basically, and it's a huge percentage. So I do have stuff, and you, sir, get a T-shirt because you asked me questions throughout, and I appreciate it. You allowed me to stretch my presentation into a... Thank you very much.